ان شاء الله. الحمد لله رب العالمين، صلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين. أسأل الله أن يرزقنا جميعا حسن النية. I ask Allah to grant us all the sincere intentions. طيب نكمل الكلام في معنى الشهادتين. Let us continue talking about the meaning of the two testifications. قال المؤلف: فمما يجب علمه واعتقاده مطلقا والنطق به في الحال إن كان كافرا، وإلا ففي الصلاة الشهادتان، وهما أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. The author said, among what one must know, believe in, and utter immediately if one was a blasphemer, is the testification of faith, which is, I testify that no one is God except Allah, and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. In the prayer, the Muslim must say the testification of faith in Arabic by saying, أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. شرح ذلك أن أول ما يجب على الإنسان معرفة الله ومعرفة رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم، والنطق بالشهادتين مرة واحدة. من حصل منه ذلك، أي النطق بالشهادتين مع الاعتقاد الجازم، فهو مسلم مؤمن. The explanation: the first obligation, if one is not a Muslim, is to believe firmly that there is no God except Allah, and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, and to utter that the testification of faith. Anyone who fulfills that, who believes that there is no God but Allah and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, and he utters that, becomes a Muslim and a believer. ولا يكفي أن ينطق بالشهادة الأولى دون الثانية. It is not enough for him to utter the first testification, that is, no one is God but Allah, without uttering the second one, that is, Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. لو كان في قلبه يؤمن يصدق بنبوة محمد عليه الصلاة والسلام لا بد أن ينطق بالشهادتين كليهما. Even if he believes in his heart that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, he needs to utter the two testifications, that no one is God but Allah and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. ثم لا يكمل إيمانه وإسلامه إلا بأداء الواجبات واجتناب المحرمات. After doing that, he does not become a perfect Muslim or a perfect believer except by doing the obligatory matters and refraining from sins. إذا فعل ذلك وذلك لأن الإيمان يزيد وينقص, يزيد بالطاعة وينقص بالمعصية. This is so because the belief increases and decreases. It increases with doing acts of obedience and decreases with doing sins, committing sins. Of course, there is a minimum that the person has to carry in his heart all the time. And if this minimum level of belief is, is absent, then one becomes a blasphemer, which means one has to believe in Allah and the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. Now this belief gets stronger by doing good things. And then if one does make sins, then it gets weaker. But if it reaches the level of hesitation, whether this is correct or not, then one becomes a blasphemer. We are not talking about this. We are talking about the belief of a believer to increase and decrease. It gets stronger and it gets weaker. لذلك ينبغي على الشخص أن يحرص على تقوية إيمانه بالطاعات. This is why one should be keen to increase his belief, to make his belief stronger by doing good things, acts of worship, and avoiding sinning. بعد تلك المرة هل يجب النطق بالشهادتين مرة أخرى أم لا؟ بعض العلماء قال يجب النطق بالشهادتين في كل صلاة. الشافعية يقولون ركن من أركان الصلاة, والحنابلة يقولون ركن من أركان الصلاة, والحنفية يقولون واجب وإن لم يكن ركنا. أما المالكية لا يوجبون النطق بالشهادتين في كل صلاة, بل عندهم النطق بالشهادتين في الصلاة سنة. لو لم ينطق الشخص بالشهادتين في أثناء الصلاة صحت صلاته, بل لو لم يأتي بالتشهد الأخير بالمرة صحت صلاته. إذا رفع جبهته من السجود فجلس بقدر سبحان الله, بقدر السلام عليكم, ثم سلم, صحت صلاته عندهم. Now, after uttering ash-shahadatayn, is it an obligation upon one to utter ash-shahadatayn again? There are differences, there is difference in opinions among the scholars about this matter. The Shafi'is, Hanafis, and Hanbalis, they say one must utter ash-shahadatayn in every prayer. As for the Malikis, they say it is not an obligation. For the Shafi'is, uttering ash-shahadatayn in the prayer is an integral among the integrals of the prayer. If one does not utter ash-shahadatayn in the prayer, then his prayer is invalid. Likewise for the Hanbalis. The Hanafis, they say it is an obligation, but it is not an integral. Meaning that if one does not utter ash-shahadatayn intentionally, his prayer is valid, but he commits a sin by leaving out uttering ash-shahadatayn. As for the Malikis, they say it is not an obligation. Even if one does not recite at-tashahud al-akhir, the last tashahud, all of it, one is not sinful. They say this is a sunnah, it's not an obligation. So, according to them, if one lifts his forehead from a sujood, sits for a moment, like enough to say assalamu alaykum, then say, if one says then assalamu alaykum, his prayer is valid, even without saying anything. This is the school of Malik. ثم إن النطق الذي يجب على الشخص للدخول في الإسلام على الكافر للدخول في الإسلام يحصل بلفظ أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد رسول الله باللغة العربية وبترجمته لغيرها من اللغات. Moreover, uttering the two testifications of faith can take place to become a Muslim, that is. It can take place with the Arabic language or with any other language. So if one says it in English, in Turkish, in Persian, in any other language, it is valid, as long as it carries the same meaning. فَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ أَنْ يَتَلَفَّظَ بِلَفْظِ الْجَلَالَةِ اللَّهِ بِغَيْرِ الْعَرَبِيَّةِ يُتَرْجِمُ يَأْتِي بِلَفْظِ الْجَلَالَةِ فِي لُغَتِهِ. If one cannot pronounce the term Allah properly, you know, some people, they might have some difficulties with pronouncing the ha, the sound ha at the end of the word. So they might not be able to say إِلَّا اللَّهِ. So he might not be able to say there is no God but Allah, the term Allah, he might not be able to say it properly. So we tell him, mention the name of Allah in your language. It is valid. because God in English, Allah in Arabic, Khuda in Persian, Dieu in the French language, all those names are names of Allah. So one can mention any of those names in the testification of faith to embrace Al-Islam. ولا يشترط أن يأتي بلفظ أشهد بالعربية وإن كان إتيانه بلفظ أشهد أحسن. It is not a condition to mention the term أشهد in Arabic. That is, if he says لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله, this is enough. He does not have to say أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. But saying أشهد is better. لأن لفظ أشهد معناه أعترف وأعتقد وأنطق. Because the term أشهد contains the meaning of having the belief and uttering. نعم. بلى. وأعلم إن شئت. أعلم وأعتقد وأعترف إن شئت. وفيك. هو الاعتقاد لابد معه من العلم. Because it has the meaning of أعلم, I know, I believe and I testify. By saying أشهد in Arabic, and it contains those three meanings. هلا لا يكفي أن يقول الشخص أعلم أن لا إله إلا الله. It is not enough for one to say I know that there is no God but Allah to embrace Islam. لأن العلم لا يدل على الاعتقاد. Because one might know about something and still he might not believe in it. Knowing does not mean believing. بعض الناس يعرفون أن عرفوا في الماضي أن محمد رسول الله ولم يؤمنوا. In the past as in the present tense, there are people who knew about that Muhammad was the messenger of Allah, and despite that, they did not believe in that. لذلك لا يكفي أعلم. This is why it is not enough to say, I know that there is no God but Allah. Either one says, there is no God but Allah, or I testify that there is no God except Allah. I know is not enough. Alone is not enough. كان في الماضي يهوديان جاء إلى النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام فسألاه عن 9 أشياء كانوا يعرفون أن العرب ما كانوا يعرفون هذه 9 أشياء واردة في شريعة سيدنا موسى. النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام أخبرهما بها فقبلا يده ورجله وقالا نشهد أنك نبي ولم يؤمنا. قال ما يمنعكما أن تتبعاني؟ قال إنا نخاف إن اتبعناك أن تقتلنا يهود, وإن داود دعا ربه ألا يزال في ذريته نبي. يعني وأنت لست من ذرية داود. عرفا لكن لم يؤمنا. هذا رواه الترمذي. At-Tirmidhi narrated that at the time of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, two Jewish people came to him. They asked him about nine matters that were mentioned in the rules revealed to Prophet Musa. They knew that the Arabs at the time did not know about those nine issues. Which means, if you are a prophet, go ahead, tell us about those nine issues. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam told them about those nine issues. So they said, "We testify that you are a prophet." They kissed his hand and his foot, but still they did not believe. They did not embrace Al-Islam. The Prophet told them, "Then why you don't follow me? Why don't you embrace Al-Islam? You know that I'm a prophet. Then why don't you embrace Al-Islam?" They said, "We are worried that the Jews would kill us if we do that. And we know that Prophet David made a supplication to Allah that always there will be a prophet among his offsprings." Which means you are not among the offsprings of David. And this wasn't correct. Dawood, Prophet Dawood didn't make such a supplication. This is what they said. They knew that he was a prophet, but they did not believe in him. This is why the scholars said it is not enough to say, "I know," while taking the testification of faith. قال المؤلف ومعنى أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أعلم وأعتقد وأعترف أن لا معبود بحق إلا الله. The author said the meaning of أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله is I know, believe, and declare that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah. معنى قول الفقهاء لا معبود بحق إلا الله أي لا أحد يستحق أن يعبد إلا الله. ومعنى العبادة نهاية التذلل، غاية التذلل، أقصى غاية الخشوع والخضوع، هذا معنى العبادة. The scholars said that no one deserves to be worshipped other than Allah. Worship means the ultimate submission, the extreme submission. So no one deserves the extreme submission other than Allah. This is worship. This is the definition of worship. إذن ليس معنى العبادة مطلق الطاعة. So worship does not mean to obey. بعض الناس ما فهموا معنى العبادة. لذلك إذا أطاع شخص أحدا على خلاف ما أمر الله، على خلاف شرع الله، يعتبرونه كافرا. لما؟ لأنهم ما فهموا معنى العبادة، ظنوا أن معنى العبادة هو الطاعة. فإذا أطاع أحد أحدا في معصية يقولون عنه كافر، على خلاف شرع الله يكفرونه. Some people did not understand the real meaning of worship. This is why if one of them, if they see someone obeying another person in a way that does not comply with the rules of the religion, they claim that this person becomes a blasphemer. Why? Because they thought that worship means to obey. So whenever someone obeys other than Allah, they claim that this person worships that person, worships other than Allah. And thus, they claim him as a blasphemer. And this is wrong, of course. Al-Wahhabiyya yufassiruna al-ibada bit-ta'a. The Wahhabis, they have different terms to define worship, and one of them is to obey. So they define worship as to obey. وَهُمْ أَنفُسُهُمْ يُطِعُونَ غَيْرَ اللَّهِ عَلَى خِلَافِ شَرْعِ اللَّهِ يُطِعُونَ الْقَوَانِينَ الَّتِي سَنَّهَا مُلُوكُهُمْ عَلَى خِلَافِ شَرْعِ اللَّهِ فَكَأَنَّهُمْ كَفَّرُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ. The Wahhabis themselves, they obey the rules that the kings put for them. Although some of those rules, they go against the rules of the religion. So as if they claim themselves blasphemers. في بلادهم إذا قتل مسلم إذا قتل مسلم خطأ من غير أهل تلك البلاد يجعلون قيمة الدية مبلغا من المال، وإذا كان المقتول من أهل البلاد فالمبلغ أكثر بكثير. هذا شرع الله؟ هذا ليس شرع الله. مع ذلك يطيعون ملوكهم فيه. For example, in in Saudi Arabia, this is where the Wahhabis rule. In Saudi Arabia, if a person, a Muslim, is killed by mistake, then the expiation would be a certain amount of money, the expiation paid to his inheritors. And if the killed person is among the Saudi people, then the expiation is much higher. Or is this the rule revealed to Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam? No. This does not comply with the Islamic rules. But they obey such rules. So as if they claim themselves blasphemers. Anyway, this is not the correct definition of worship. وبعض الناس عرفوا العبادة بأن معناها نداء والاستغاثة. Some people, they defined worship by calling upon or asking for help. هذا أيضا خطأ. This is also wrong. لذلك هؤلاء الناس إذا سمعوا واحدا يقول يا محمد أو يا رسول الله يقولون عنه كافر. This is why if they hear someone saying oh Muhammad or oh رسول الله, they claim that this person becomes a blasphemer. هذا أيضا من عقائد الوهابية. Again, this is the claim of the Wahhabis. عندهم لا يجوز نداء الغائب. إذا استغاث الإنسان بالميت أو بالغائب عندهم شرك. According to them, if someone calls upon a person who is absent, who is not in the session, or who is dead, then according to them, this person commits blasphemy by that. في كل بلاد المسلمين عند الفرح كما عند الشدة المسلمون يقولون يا محمد. In all the Islamic countries, Muslims, when they are very happy or when they are in a tight situation, they say, O Muhammad. الوهابية عندهم كل هؤلاء كفار. For the Wahhabis, all those Muslims in all the different countries are blasphemers. هذا غير صحيح. For sure, this is wrong. يقال لهم أنتم ما عرفتم معنى العبادة. We tell them, you did not know, you don't know the real meaning of worship. نقول لهم أنتم تقولون النداء, تقولون نداء الغائب, لا يجوز نداء الغائب ولا نداء الميت. لماذا؟ هل لأنه نداء أم لأنه طلب؟ هل لأنه خطاب لغير الحاضر أم لأن فيه الطلب منه؟ إن قالوا لأنه خطاب نقول في الصلاة, نقول كلنا السلام عليك أيها النبي فنخاطبه. لو كان حراما لما كان من الصلاة. إن كان لأجل الطلب من غير الله فكلنا يعرف أنه إذا قال واحد لآخر ساعدني في كذا لا يكون كفر بذلك بل ولا ارتكب حراما, وهذا طلب من مخلوق, أين الحرج في هذا؟ We tell the Wahhabis, you claim that calling upon someone who is absent or dead is blasphemy. We tell them why. Either because this is addressing someone who is not present, or because this is asking other than Allah. If you say, this is because addressing someone who is not present, then all the Muslims in the prayers, they say, As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabi. They address the Prophet alayhi salatu wassalam. In the prayer, this is a part of the prayer. Have this been haram, it wouldn't be. Had this been haram, it would have not been a part of the prayer. As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabi, this is addressed to the Prophet alayhi salatu wassalam, and we say it in every prayer. If you say, no, this is not because of that, this is because it contains asking other than Allah, well, all of us know that if I ask Hajj Abu Taysir to help me with something, this is permissible. Not just that, the Prophet alayhi salatu wassalam encouraged that in the hadith. So there is no ground for what they say. Really, those people did not understand the meaning of worship. هؤلاء ما فهموا معنى العبادة. فلذلك كفروا المسلمين في الشرق والغرب بغير حق، بل وتعدوا ذلك إلى استحلال دمائهم وأموالهم. بئس النحلة، بئس البدعة، بدعتهم. It is not just that, it's not that they misunderstood the meaning of worship. Moreover, they went to claim everyone other than themselves to be blasphemers. And they said it is permissible to shed the blood of all the Muslims all around the world, everyone other than them. It is permissible to shed their blood, take their belongings, etc. This is among the worst innovation in this era, the innovation of the Wahhabis. And you all are aware of all the tribulations they are causing all around the world. كلامهم لا ينحصر في هذا، بل يتعدى تكفيرهم المسلمين. وتكفيرهم للمسلمين هذا ليس تخيلا، هذا حقيقة. حفيد محمد بن عبد الوهاب في بعض كتبه يشرح عقيدة جده، يقول: أهل مصر كفار لأنهم يعبدون أحمد البدوي، وأهل الشام كفار لأنهم يعبدون محي الدين بن عربي، وأهل اليمن كفار لأنهم يعبدون أحمد بن علوان، وأهل العراق كفار لأنهم يعبدون الجيلاني، وهكذا غيرهم من بلاد المسلمين. The Wahhabis explicitly mentioned this ilk creed in their books. In one of their books, this is a book authored by the grandson of Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, the one who founded the Il-Creed. In his book, he wrote that the people of Egypt are blasphemers. He said because they worship Al-Badawi. Al-Badawi is a righteous Muslim buried in Egypt. People like to go to his grave and make dua there. The Wahhabis consider that blasphemy. So they said the people of Egypt are blasphemers because they worship Ahmad al-Badawi. The people of Asham, Sham means Syria, Lebanon, Jordan and Palestine. They say the people of Asham are blasphemers because they worship Muhyiddin ibn Arabi. Also, he is a righteous Muslim buried there. The people of Yemen are blasphemers because they worship Ahmad ibn Alwan. The people of Al-Iraq are blasphemers because they worship Sheikh Abdul Qadir al-Jilani. He said, and likewise, other Islamic countries. So for him, everyone in all the Islamic countries are blasphemers, except for themselves. So according to them, more than 1 billion Muslims are blasphemers, and those Wahhabis in Najd, which might be 1 million or maybe 2 millions, those are the Muslims only. And all the Muslims, 1 billion Muslim or more, among Ahl Sunnah are blasphemers. And this is what they said. وَكَلَامُهُمْ هَذَا يَنْسَحِبْ عَلَى الصَّحَابَةِ. Now this statement of theirs by saying that as if they are saying the companions of the Prophet are blasphemers. لماذا الصحابة في إحدى المعارك مع المرتدين في زمن سيدنا أبي بكر معركة اليم عندما حاربوا مسيلمة الكذاب في اليمامة الصحابة كان شعارهم يا محمد. بالنسبة للوهابية إذن على حسب كلام الوهابية الصحابة أيضا كفار. During one of the battles that the companions fought against the apostates, their slogan, the companions' slogan, was Ya Muhammad, which means O Muhammad. So according to the Wahhabis, the companions were blasphemers also for saying that. ثم إن النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام علم بعض الصحابة أن يقول يا محمد في غيابه في غير حضرته فكأنهم كفروا الرسول أيضا صلى الله عليه وسلم. Moreover, النبي the prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام taught one of the companions to say O Muhammad, to call upon him while he was not in his presence. So as if they are saying also that the Prophet was a blasphemer. May Allah protect us from such an ill statement. Inshallah. مين بيعرف مين روى هالحديث؟ Who knows who narrated this hadith? The hadith in which it's mentioned that the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام raise your hand that the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام taught a companion to say Ya Muhammad while he was not in his presence. عم قول النبي علم شو يا ضياء بس مين رواه لحظة ارفع ايدك فايز ايه فايز من رواه الطبراني narrated it in which book أي صحيح إن في المعجمين الكبير والصغير in two of his books المعجم الكبير and المعجم الصغير. Who else narrated this hadith? Who else? No, not al-Bukhari. This one. What did you say? Well, the part in which there is that the Prophet taught that person. Many narrated it. Yeah. Who? Al-Hakim. Who else? Al-Haythami. But it's among, no, those who were previous. Abl al-Haytham. Al-Haythami mutaakhir. البيهقي. Who else? Who else? Come on. بعد في غير ترمذي. مين كمان? Who else? صبكي متأخر. هيك بدنا نشتغل يا صدر الدين، خلينا متقدمين. مين كمان؟ هو ألس النسائي. هو ألس مين كمان؟ ابن ماجة. And others وغيرهم. طيب who classified it as صحيح؟ الطبراني. Other than الطبراني. Yes, الطبراني classified it as صحيح. الحافظ الطبراني. Who else؟ ايه بس المنذري، الحافظ المنذري، الحافظ الهيثمي، الحاكم. ايه who else؟ الحافظ السبكي. Who else؟ الحافظ النووي. Who else before them? Very famous one. الترمذي and others and others. Okay. ترمذي صححه كثير كثير كثير. 16 حافظا صححوا هذا الحديث. 16 حافظ. All of them they mentioned explicitly that this is a صحيح حديث. Among them الترمذي and الحاكم and الطبراني also. والقصة التي ذكرناها هيدي غيرها كمان صحيح. بلى بلى كذلك صحيح يا حاج. والقصة التي ذكرناها عن الصحابة رواها الطبري في تاريخه وابن كثير أيضا في تاريخه. ابن كثير تلميذ ابن تيمية رواها وقال إسنادها قوي. And the story which we mentioned about the companions is narrated by الطبري in his book of history. Also Ibn Kathir in his book of history. Ibn Kathir, although he is the student of Ibn Taymiyyah, he narrated it and he explicitly said that it has a strong chain of narrators. قال المؤلف الواحد الأحد الأول القديم الحي القيوم الدائم. The author said who is one الواحد. معنى الواحد الذي لا شريك له. أصل معنى الوحدة في لغة العرب، الوحدة في لغة العرب أصل معناها الانفراد، الانفراد عدم المشاركة. فلذلك معنى الواحد الذي لا شريك له لا في الذات ولا في الصفات ولا في الأفعال. لا ذاته يشبه الذوات ولا فعله يشبه الأفعال ولا صفاته تشبه الصفات. The one in Arabic, Allah is one. In Arabic, we say al-wahid. This Arabic term has its root or its taken from al-wahda. And al-wahda in Arabic means not to have partners. This is why al-wahid means the one without partners. Allah does not have partners, which means nothing resembles Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in His, the self of Allah does not resemble any other self. The doings of Allah do not resemble any other doings. And the attributes of Allah do not resemble any other attributes. إذن الواحد ليس معناه عدد عددا لأن العدد يقبل الزيادة والنقصان والانقسام إنما الواحد معناه الذي لا شريك له. So when we say الواحد about Allah, we do not refer to a number. The number accepts addition, subtraction, etc. But when we say about Allah that He is al-wahid, this means He does not have a partner. Naam, Umar. Yushbihu. Yajuz, lakin al-ahsan. Yushbihu. Al-Ahad, the author said, Al-Ahad. Al-Ahad, بعض العلماء قال هو بمعنى الواحد وبعضهم قال الذي لا يقبل التجزؤ والانقسام لأنه ليس جسما. Among the names of Allah is Al-Ahad. Some scholars said Al-Ahad and Al-Wahid, they have the same meaning. The one that does not have any partner. And some said Al-Ahad means the one that does not accept division, to be divided. Because Allah is not a body. So He does not accept division. الَّذِي يَقْبَلُ الْإِنْقِسَامُ هُوَ الْجِسْمُ. What accepts to be divided is a body. لَهُ طُول وَعَرْضُ وَعُمُقُ. That is what has length, width and depth. Allah does not resemble that. Allah is clear of that. قال المؤلف الأول الأول القديم. The author said الأول without a beginning eternal القديم. الأول والقديم بمعنى واحد. Those two names of Allah, الأول and القديم, they have the same meaning. وهو بمعنى ما أنه لا ابتداء لوجوده. They both mean that Allah does not have a beginning. أي لم يسبق وجوده عدم. Which means His existence is not preceded with non-existence. لأن الذي يسبق وجوده عدم يكون مخلوقا. Because the one who exists after a stage of non-existence would be a creation. لأنه من حيث ذاته لا يترجح وجوده على عدمه ولا عدمه على وجوده. فإذا اتصف بالوجود بعد العدم فهو محتاج إلى من خصه بذلك، والمحتاج لا يكون إلها، يكون مخلوقا. Because the one who exists after non-existence, then as far as itself is concerned, كيف بيقولوا؟ Then, as far as itself is concerned, it does not. Okay, give me 1 minute to phrase it properly, or let someone help me. I would appreciate. No. Okay, I'll try to do it. So, if something is attributed with existence after a state of non-existence, then as far as itself is concerned, it does not entail a state of non-existence, just as it does not entail a state of non-existence. It didn't work. Okay, yeah, I know. Okay, as far as itself is concerned, its No. That's it. طيب. Okay. So, as far as itself is concerned, it does not necessitate its existence. Just as it does not necessitate its non-existence. And thus, if it is attributed with existence after non-existence, then it is in need for someone who specified it with that. And the one who's in need is created. Or are you laughing? Okay, أنا شغلي تاني. Okay. And you have to memorize it. Believe me, I'll ask 10 among you tomorrow about this. Believe me. Inshallah. قال المؤلف الحي, the author said الحي, which means the one attributed with life. معنى ذلك أنه سبحانه وتعالى موصوف بحياة أزلية أبدية ليست كحياتنا, ليس لها بداية ولا هي باجتماع روح ولحم وعظم. This means that Allah is attributed with life, and this attribute does not resemble our attributes. It does not have a beginning. It does not get to an end. It is not a combination of soul and body. It is an attribute that does not resemble our attributes. The author said, القيوم الدائم. قال المؤلف القيوم الدائم. القيوم والدائم بمعنى واحد, معناه الذي لا يزول. Those two names of Allah refer to the same meaning. They mean the one that does not come, his existence does not come to an end. لأن الفناء مستحيل عقلا على الله. It is mentally impossible, intellectually impossible, that the existence of God comes to an end. لأن ما جاز عليه العدم استحال عليه القدم. Because the one who accepts intellectually to annihilate, then it is impossible to be without a beginning. It is impossible for it to be without a beginning. لأن ما جاز عليه العدم بعد الوجود معناه من حيث ذاته يجوز عليه الوجود ويجوز عليه العدم, ولا يترجح وجوده على عدمه ولا عدمه على وجوده. فإذا اتصف بالوجود فلا بد من مرجح خصصه بذلك, والذي يحتاج إلى المرجح يكون مخلوقا لوجوده بداية. This is so because the one who accepts intellectually to annihilate after being existing, then as far as itself is concerned, it does not necessitate for it a state of existence, just as it does not necessitate a state of non-existence. So if it comes into existence, or if it exists, then it is in need for someone who specified it with existence. And the one who is in need for someone else is created, and thus has a beginning. ولا شريك لله في الديمومية. Now this is an attribute of Allah, and thus no one other than Allah is attributed with that. No one other than Allah has a similar attribute. فإذا قيل الجنة لا تفنى والنار لا تفنى قلنا نعم لكن بقاء الجنة والنار ليس كبقاء الله. If someone says paradise does not come to an end and hellfire does not come to an end, we say yes, but the everlastingness of paradise and hellfire does not resemble the everlastingness of Allah. لأن بقاء الجنة هو بإبقاء الله لها، أما بقاء الله ذاتي ليس غيره خصه بذلك. Because paradise remains because Allah willed for it to remain. Allah specified it with that. As for Allah, no one specified him with anything. زد على ذلك أن بقاء الجنة معناه مرور زمان ثم زمان ثم زمان عليها لا إلى نهاية، هذا معنى بقاء الجنة. أما بقاء الله فليس زمنيا، ليس مرور زمان بعد زمان عليه. إنما بقاؤه صفة له لا تشبه صفات الخلق. Moreover, paradise remains means that a period of time lapses on it, then another period of time lapses on it, then another period of time lapses on it, without an end. As for Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, time does not lapse on Him. So the everlastingness of God does not resemble the everlastingness of paradise. Just as all the other attributes of Allah, they do not resemble the attributes of the creation. Wadih, is it clear? Is it clear? Yes. No. إذن الجنة والنار من حيث ذاتهما يجوز عليهما الفناء، لكن هما باقيتان بإبقاء الله لهما. So hellfire and paradise, as far as themselves are concerned, it is permissible, intellectually it is permissible for them to annihilate. But they do not, because Allah specified them with everlastingness. Allah did not will for them to annihilate. فنحن نعتقد بقاء الجنة والنار لأن الله أخبر بذلك. So we believe that hellfire does not come to an end and paradise does not come to an end because Allah told us about that in Al-Quran. وَمَنْ كَذَّبَ بِذَٰلِكَ فَهُوَ كَافِرٌ. Whomever says other than that, what contradicts that, then he is a blasphemer. Whomever says that paradise comes to an end or hellfire comes to an end, then this person is a blasphemer, because this person is belying Al-Quran. مثال ذلك ما قاله جهم بن صفوان. قال النار تفنى وجهنم والجنة تفنى فكفره المسلمون. An example of that is a person called Jahm ibn Safwan. He lived like 1200 more before 1200 years ago. He said that paradise and hellfire both come to an end. The Muslims unanimously claimed him as a blasphemer. ومثله ابن تيمية لكنه أخذ نصف عقيدته فقال الجنة تبقى أما النار فتفنى. Like him, similar to him is Ahmad ibn Taymiyyah, who lived in the 8th Hijri century. He said that paradise does not come to an end, but hellfire comes to an end. The Muslims also claimed him a blasphemer for that. هو نفسه كان ذكر في بعض كتبه تكفير من يعتقد فناء الجنة أو النار. Ibn Taymiyyah himself in one of his books mentioned that the one who claims that paradise and hellfire come to an end is a blasphemer. ثم بعد ذلك ضل هذه الضلالة. Then later he himself said that hellfire comes to an end. والعياذ بالله تعالى. Okay, let us stop here for now. خلونا نقف هنا. الله أعلم. Allah knows best. If you have questions, go ahead. من كان عنده سؤال فليتفضل. القرضاوي also. Also القرضاوي. This is correct. He followed Ibn Taymiyyah in that. Yeah. Eh, Ali, تفضل, Bazar Ali. Go ahead.
Sheikh Samir, sometimes in giving someone the shahada, they say,
One moment. Brothers and sisters, Allah yubarak fikum. Do you want to listen to the questions and answers? Okay, then you need to be a little bit more quiet so you would be able to listen. تفضل حالي.
Sometimes you tell giving someone the shahada. He says the first part of the shahada, but he's having a hard time saying Muhammad, and you have to explain to him like Abu Qasim means Muhammad, and you have to. If there's a gap between saying the first shahada and the second.
Let them repeat them.
Repeat them.
If there is a long time that separates them, then let him repeat them, both of them.
Okay, another question. What about for Wahhabiyya, like calling on someone who's not present, what about asking him about using the telephone?
What about?
Using the telephone. They say you can't call on someone who's not present.
Yeah, well, I don't know what they are going to say about that.
Okay.
Well, you know that Abdul Aziz, the great grandfather of those rulers, when he first introduced the car and the phone to that area, many of the Wahhabis who fought with him to rule that area, they revolted against him, saying that using the car is an innovation, using the telephone is an innovation. So he faced a strong revolt against him because of that. I don't know what they are going to say about this. Anyway. الله يرحمنا تفضل سليم خوارج they have another reason to declare blasphemer the one who commits an enormous sin. They claim that this is mentioned in Al-Quran, so it's from a different perspective. They did it. They claim that this is mentioned in Al-Quran. That's why they claim the one who commits an enormous sin, a blasphemer.
هل يجوز أن يطلب أن يطلب شيئا من ميت غير النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام؟ ماذا نقول؟
يجوز.
ثم يسأل عن الدليل.
لا يوجد تحريم
ما شاء الله ثم يسأل عن مثال
لما يسأل
يعني هذا حصل
لما يسأل عن مثال لا يوجد دليل على التحريم يكفي هذا ما معنى المثال لما أعطيه مثالا كل شيء أسأله أجيبه
لكن هو يقول مثلا
ينفلي يعني let him whatever I don't care about him asking for an example why would I give him an example
لأنه because he misguides people
what does an example do there
no. مثلا هو يقول هل يجوز أن يسأل هذا الميت لكذا وكذا قال كيف ذلك ماذا يفعل هو ميت وهو ليس النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام
إذن هو يجيزه مع نبي ويقول يجوز للنبي
نعم
يقول يجوز
نعم
إذن الطلب من مخلوق ليس كفا
نعم
هذا هو
نعم هو يقول الميت
يقول لا يوجد تحريم هذا هو Okay, so no questions. Alhamdulillah. Okay, go ahead.
Ibn Taymiyyah about hellfire, was it mentioned? Where did he say it?
About what?
That he said hellfire ends.
About hellfire? Ibn Taymiyyah said that hellfire comes to an end. It extinguishes.
No, where did he say that? Where?
Oh, Luktab. He authored a book about that. There is a book authored by him about this issue. He called it the difference in opinions among the companions and those who followed them about hellfire. Does it remain or does it come to an end? In that book he mentioned explicitly that issue. Also his student Ibn al-Qayyim copied it from him. And As-Subki, al-Hafiz As-Subki, who lived at the same time as Ibn Taymiyyah, he copied that from him. And he judged him as a blasphemer for that. And he judged him as a blasphemer for that. As-Subki. اتفضل اختلاف الصحابة والتابعين في بقاء النار. This is what he called it. Is it to call someone wahid?
Yeah,
it is permissible. With other than the meaning when it is attributed to Allah.
بارك الله فيك.
وفيك. طيب نعم. Okay, in Arabic also. Aqwa. If the other one is Aqwa, why did he mention that? I don't know. I have no clue. طيب خلونا لكن let us say الشهادة. Let us say لا إله إلا الله. لا إله إلا الله. لا إله إلا الله اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.